I'll have to speak to the subject a little bit this morning. Y'all, I've already told the Sunday school to pray for me that I would try to be as careful as I can. Exodus chapter 15, I want to speak to you on peace or panic. Which one are you choosing? Amen? Exodus chapter 15. Get the setting of the story. The Israelites now being brought out of Egypt, led by Moses. And we come to verse 23. It says, when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah, which means bitter, of course. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them. Wonder if we're not being proved today. Verse 26. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Here's my text. He made a promise to him. I'll put none of these diseases upon thee. And then he tells us something. We get a little insight here. Which I have brought upon the Egyptians. Somebody says, how does God relate to disease? He's in charge of everything. He can give it to one group. He can protect another group. I'm not saying what he's doing in this particular moment, but I'm saying he's still in charge. It doesn't take him by surprise. Amen. He knows what's going on. And in the context here, they're leaving Egypt. And they've seen God's power. They've seen the Red Sea parted. God is doing all the miracles for them in the wilderness. And then all of a sudden, they come to some water that's bitter. And they start murmuring. You know, that tribe is still around. I think some of us belong to it. Oh, God can do great things. We praise him for it. But when a little something goes wrong, when everything is just not right, we're given to murmur. We're given to complain, no doubt about it. That's our day. We look around. We say, oh, I can trust God with my soul, but I'm not sure I can trust him with the flu. Kind of ridiculous, huh? Yep, that's where we are. You know, this particular coronavirus, there's all kind of political stuff going on about it. I mean, where did it start? Somebody said, well, Trump started it. He's blamed for everything else. I know he didn't, or at least he didn't distribute it, because if he did, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer would be real sick right now. Amen. That's one of Mickey's jokes. You just live with it. Amen. No, he didn't start it. I tell you where it started. How many of you know where it started? It started in the Garden of Eden. That's where the serpent showed up. And that's where man fell into sin. Amen. And as a result of sin, we live in a sin-cursed earth. And part of that curse is disease, pestilence. You name anything wrong, that's part of what man fell into. I mean, that's a sad truth, folks. That's where it began. And let's quit blaming somebody for something the devil did a long time ago. And it's so ridiculous, you know. It is sad that the innocent also hurt. The Bible says it rains on the just and the unjust alike. And when there's a disease or something else, yes, the innocent can be hurt. And yet the good news, as we read in the text, God can protect his people when he wants to. And he told these Israelites, here I'll put none of these diseases, these deadly things that are going on in Egypt and all of that. But he told them, there's a proposition there. If you keep my statutes, my commandments. Do you know part of the statutes that God gave the Jews were laws of hygiene and cleanliness? Somebody has said the Bible says that cleanliness is next to godliness. It's not a scripture, folks. I'm sorry. It is good advice. Most wives would love for their husbands to practice that a little better. I understand that. But, and by the way, the Jews did have laws of hygiene that set them apart from the other races of people that they were mingling with. That's why if you read history concerning the nation of Israel, even back in the days of England when so many were dying with the bubonic plague, and yet the Jews seemed to not get it, and so it caused the population to want to persecute them. Believe, they said they started it. They're not getting it. They're immune from it somehow. And so they got blamed for it. Why didn't they get it? Well, number one, God's blessing. But number two, they were obeying God's rules when it comes to cleanliness. So it's okay to wash your hands. I washed mine last month. Now, all joking aside, I'm for doing some common sense things. Nothing wrong with that whatsoever. But at the same time, you don't have to go nuts about it. And you don't have to get to the place that you don't trust the neighbor or the person you go to church with. And certainly God that is over it all, amen? You know, the truth of the matter is that we're all going to die sometime. Did you know that? You did know that, didn't you? Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die. Now, most of us know that, but we just don't want to do it right now. And we want to pick the way where we can do it easy. Well, maybe so, maybe not, but God's still in charge of that also. And we have to be wise about that sort of stuff. And this flu thing, we had 13,000 killed last year in the flu. Now we're up to about 50 or 40 something here. And most of them were in a nursing home. They were already sick with some other disease. And this one just came on and was a straw on the camel's back. And folks, let's just use some common sense. The Bible says we're not supposed to have a spirit of fear. We got to be careful about that sort of things. And I'm for praying. I understand the president, I didn't see it this morning. Somebody told me since I got to church that he declared today a national day of prayer. That's smart. That's wise. That should be. I look over here and I'm see where I want to go. I want to go over in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. I want to show you a king that didn't have a national day of prayer. In 2 Chronicles chapter 16, pick it up in verse 12. There's a fellow here named Asa. He got a disease, and here's what it says about him. His disease was exceedingly great, yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord. He sought not to the Lord, but to physicians. Well, that's okay. I believe in going to the doctor. Luke wrote two of the books in the Bible, was a physician, and he traveled with Paul. I'm all for going to the doctor, but I still think you ought to put your trust first, and you ought to take your needs to God in prayer. And this king died, and God condemned him because he didn't even ask the Lord. He didn't seek the Lord. He sought all his physicians. He was the king. I'm sure he had the best, but it didn't work for him. We're always wise to go to the Lord first, no doubt about it. And by the way, folks, in all this fear and all this scare, you and I as Christians have a great opportunity to show our faith. And a great door is open to tell folks why we have that faith and who we have that faith in, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is said that John Wesley, the great preacher that the Methodist Church credits today, probably as its founder, they say that Wesley had come over to America in those days on sail ships. And he'd come over and he was going back and he was preaching. He was preaching the gospel as he thought he understood it. But on the way back, a great storm came up. And everybody on the ship was afraid except one little group of people. They were the German Baptists that was on board. And Wesley noticed while everybody else was going nuts, they still had peace. And so when they got through the storm, Wesley wanted to talk to them. How come you had peace and I didn't? And Wesley gives his own testimony. I've read his biography, that's when he really got saved, when they shared their faith and told him about the Lord Jesus Christ and how that everything was all right and the assurance and the peace they had from him that heaven was their home. An old-time preacher, and you've heard me say this, somebody told him, said, you know, this sort of thing is going to kill you. He said, well, you can't scare me with heaven. Now, the Apostle Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, I want to stay here as long as God wants me here. I want to finish my job. I want to be like the Apostle Paul if I can and say, I finished my course. I want to do that, but I still know it depends on God Almighty. And I have a peace about that, do you? I'm not going to panic when the world panics. I'm not going to run scared when everybody else is running scared. I'm connected to a different authority. My destination is different. I'm going to heaven. I might not deserve it, but I'm going there by His grace. He that loved me and paid the price for my sins and gives me the assurance of salvation because He bought my ticket to heaven, that's the one that gives me peace. And when the world around me is losing their head and panicking over this, that, or the other, I still want to pillow my head at night and say, dear God, I still have peace because no matter how it turns out down here, everything's all right with You. I want to tell you, folks, I'm going to choose peace over panic every time. You know, I want to say this about panic. If the population is panicking now, what are they going to do later? You say, well, it's bad. Not like it's going to get bad. No, it's not. No, it's not. Listen, when the rapture takes place, how many of you know what I'm talking about, the rapture? I'm talking about if the trumpet sounds and God's people are called out. You don't think there's going to be a panic left here? There's going to be some reason to panic. There's going to be mothers and daddies looking for babies and can't find them. Right? There's going to be husbands looking for wives and wives looking for husbands and kids looking for parents and parents looking for kids. And what's happened? Or there'll be some big talking heads on TV explaining everything like they are now, but they're wrong now and they'll be much more wrong then. The truth of the matter is, when the rapture takes place, there's going to be a panic. A lot of panic. And a lot of folks going to turn to government. Now, government has its place, but government's not God. And we're seeing the helplessness of government around the world right now with a little flu bug, a little invisible germ. What kind of panic is there going to be when God decides to do some things that He's told us He is going to do, that He is going to do according to the Word of God? You know, kids today, we've raised them wrong. We've raised them to look for the government for God, as God, instead of the real God. And I want to say to you young people, government's not God. There's some things God wants you to do. You ought to be self-sufficient. You ought to be willing to work and earn your own way. You ought to live honest and have some character. And if you do, you'll be able to make it in this world. But the truth is, government is not supposed to provide everything from the cradle to the grave. You're supposed to be standing on your own 2 feet to do some things. We look around today and we see this attitude. We got socialism coming back in the news and saying the young people are the ones wanting it. They don't know what it is. Why don't they try Cuba a little while? They'd find out something down there. Find out in Russia and some other places, brother, that communism, one inch higher than socialism, is not of God, it is of the devil. And more deaths, more people have been hurt and starved to death and everything else. Some of us have been over in some of those areas. We've seen that kind of thing. And we realize, no, that's not the answer. It's a trick of the devil. And it's happening today that it amazes me that Americans would buy into that sort of stuff. But the panic of the rapture, yeah, very real. Then there's going to be the panic of the tribulation period. Now, you folks in my Sunday school class and you Christians, you know your Bible. You know when the rapture takes place, the saved are going to be caught up. The Bible tells us that we're going to be saved from the hour that's coming. It's a short time, an hour, not just an hour as we know it, but it's speaking of a period of time. We believe it's going to be 7 years at the most. But the hour of wrath that's coming, the hour of temptation that's coming, the book of Revelation calls it, that's going to try the whole earth. That is the tribulation period, 7 year period. Daniel's 70th week, we read in the book of Daniel, is going to run its course. It will be under the control of the man of sin called the Antichrist. And that 7 year period, when he begins to come to power, is going to be a trying time for planet Earth. The restraining force against evil will leave in the rapture. Do you understand right now that you and I are part of that restraining force? That the church is, the saved people are? Do you know there's a crowd in Washington, D.C. and other governments that believe we're the problem because we will not go along with all the stuff they want to do? Killing the babies, for instance, who's against it? God's people. Elevating the homosexuality agenda, who's against it? So we become the enemy, see? They see us as the enemy now. Well, I got news for them. We're going to leave, and then they're going to find out something when we're caught out. But following our catching out, there's going to be a period of time. The Bible, we call it the tribulation period. Jesus said the last part of it will be the great tribulation. There's a division between the 3.5 year and the other last 3.5 years seems to be a division as we study it. And the great tribulation, what does that mean? The first part of the tribulation, the lie will be believed. The Antichrist propaganda will put out the lie. Look how easy it is right now to believe the propaganda. Got folks sitting in the corner sucking their thumbs right now in fear. I'm sorry, but that's the way it looks to me. In a panic. The truth of the matter is it's going to get worse. really much worse. And that's tribulation period. It's going to start off kind of right. The lie is going to be believed. And about the 3.5 year mark, they're going to recognize who the Antichrist is. But there's something going to happen. It'll be bad in the first 3.5, but it's going to get much worse in the last 3.5. Because then God begins to dump his judgments. Read the book of Revelation. He begins to dump his judgments on earth. If you can't panic now and you're still here then, you will panic. You will panic. I won't take the mark of the beast. Yes, you will, if you're here. Otherwise, you'll take your cell phone away. That'd kill some of you right now. You'd take the mark right now if you had to stand at the door and take it rather than give up your cell phone. Help yourself. I've been observing you. I see the addiction. All right, Mickey, get back on the track here. Now, the panic of the tribulation period is going to be something else, folks. The four horsemen are going to show up in Revelation chapter 6. At the end of chapter 6, Jesus is coming back. He's the fifth horseman. He's coming back, Revelation 19, leading the armies of heaven on a white horse, coming down at the Battle of Armageddon. And the whole world's going to be out there to fight him, the armies of the world. But the Bible says, you read the last verses of Revelation chapter 6, that they're going to look up in the sky, and when they see the scroll departed and they see him coming, that they are going to cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them and hide them from the face of him that sits on the throne. I wonder if God's going to roll the scroll back and let them kind of glimpse up into heaven. All of a sudden, they're going to cry for the rocks and mountains to fall, hide us from God's judgment face. It's kind of interesting now, the great leaders of the world, even at 9/11 and other times, you know where they what they did? They ran to the mountains to hide. Cheyenne Mountains, we got hiding. I've been in one of them. I've been in one that's carved out in the mountain and seen where our dignitaries are going to go. If we get into a nuclear strike, they're going to run and hide back in there. Interesting, the Bible already described the rocks and the mountains as a hiding place. Well, there'd be some panic then. Real panic then. I mean the panic of the tribulation period. That's right. Now, if you divide the book of Revelation correctly, and I believe we do, the first part of the trib, most of the trouble is going to come from the Antichrist and the deception. The second half, God's going to bring his judgments on planet Earth. Man-made to start with, so to speak, but the last part's going to be God's. Revelation tells us about it. Luke 21 tells us. You got Matthew 24, Luke 17, Luke 21, these that talk about this period of time. And in Luke 21, it says, Jesus said this, men's hearts fail in them for the things that they're looking at coming on the earth. Looking at things coming. Now I'm gonna open this can of worms just a little bit, and then you have to come back tonight to get the rest of it. I'm not being mean, I just don't have time this morning. Here's the truth, folks. The book of Revelation tells us some things are coming. And Jesus said men's hearts would fail them for looking upon those things coming on the earth. Did you ever go through the book of Revelation and see what's coming? Say, how you know it's coming? Because God said so. And everything he said has come and will come. Count on it. Count on it. You see, you can't steal my peace over the flu. You can't steal my peace over the stock market falling. You can't steal my peace over some of the stuff that everybody is upset about right now. Because I know something. I know much more is ahead. And as Dylan was singing a while ago, I know who my champion is. And I know who's won the war. And I've got peace because of that. Amen. Have you? Have you? Tonight I may open up something for you a little bit. There is something coming on the earth within a few years. It's dated. NASA over here has got a date on it. Oh, yeah. See, the scientist today is preaching more judgment than the preachers are. Used to be the preachers, oh, they're fear-mongering. Now it's the scientists that's fear-mongering. They're worried about climate change. Not a bit worried about that. And they're worried now about the flu bug. Now, I'm not all that worried about that. They better be worrying about what God said was coming. He's got some big stuff coming. And today it's interesting that, yes, so-called science, so-called technology is beginning to say, yes, this is coming. Well, I got news for you. I'm way ahead of them. I read the back of the book. God told me a long time ago it was coming. Now, let me ask you this. If you can't handle what's here now, there's a verse in the book of Jeremiah that says, if you can't run with the footman, what are you going to do in the day of the horseman? In other words, a comparison. If you can't keep up now, how are you going to keep up when it gets much worse? And the truth is, some stuff is coming. So I may get on some of that tonight. And the truth is, it gives details. And here's the interesting part. Men, we call the eye gate. Men react to what they see. And what we hear, but what we see is far ahead of what even we hear. The Bible tells us, I just referenced this a while ago in Revelation 19, when the scroll is open and the armies of heaven come down, they're going to see that. It's not going to happen like that. They're going to see it a while. The Bible says they're going to see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven a while. They're going to watch it. Watch it. Have you ever watched a moon, sun eclipse? Took a little while. You saw it for a while. It was predicted for a while, right? Well, the time's coming. It's going to be seen for a while. It's going to get closer and closer. And terror on earth is going to increase and increase. Panic is going to be everywhere. And I'm going to show you in the book of Revelation tonight, if you come back, I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. And then I'm going to give you a freebie. I'm going to give you a license to panic if you're not saved. If you're not saved, you ought to panic. If you're not saved, you got a right to panic right now. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring forth. He may call for your soul tomorrow. There's a rich man in Luke chapter 12, had a little talk with his soul that night when he went to bed. His crops had brought forth bountifully. He said, I don't know what I'm going to do to bestow my good. Oh, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my old barns. I'll build new ones. And then I'll say to my soul, eat, drink, take thine ease. Thou hast many goods laid up for many years. But there's a voice in the scripture that comes and says, thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. And then who shall these things be? And he died that night. He died that night. The truth is, do you have peace right now in your heart that Jesus is your Savior? Heaven is your home? You won't be here in that crowd. You won't be here in that crowd that's going to see what I'm going to talk to you about tonight. You won't even be in that crowd. You may be seeing it, but it'll be from God's side. It won't be from our side. But if you don't know him, you could be here. You could be here. This morning would be a good time to get saved so you don't have to fear and have a panic over what's coming. You can have peace about it. The Lord Jesus will give you peace in your heart if he's your Savior. You know why, folks, Everybody wants to go to heaven. In truth, they all want to. But in truth, they all fear they're not going to make it. And the reason they fear they're not is they don't know if they've been good enough. This Bible tells us there's none good, no, not one. This Bible tells us you're not going to make it in your own goodness. This Bible tells you it's not by works of righteousness which ye have done, but by His mercy that He saved you. His mercy is Jesus Christ that died for your sins on the cross, paid for every one of them. God put His stamp of approval on it because He raised Him from the dead in the resurrection. And today, He's at the right hand of the Father waiting to see whether you will accept Him or reject Him. Not our biggest crowd today. The news has scared a lot of folks off. Not our biggest crowd. But even in the crowd we have today, it would be a miracle if everybody in this building really knows the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There's a good chance some don't. Now I want to say to you, if you'll be honest with yourself, if you're trusting, hopefully living good enough or getting baptized or belonging to a church, that's going to get you there. No, it's not. You got to have personally received the Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. Know Him as your Savior. Trust what He did for you on the cross of Calvary. Have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You can be saved now and know you're saved now. That's the good part. Not a hope so, but a know so. You know it now. Do you know it this morning? If not, you got a right to panic. But to know the Lord Jesus is to have peace in your heart that passeth all understanding. That's the promise of Scripture. You know whether you have that tonight, this morning or not. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. Ask you a very personal question. If you died today, would you go to heaven? If you can say, yes, preacher, I know the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm trusting Him. That's the only way I could go to heaven. The price He paid for me, I couldn't do it myself. I don't deserve it, but He made me worthy. I'm unworthy, but He made me worthy. He's my Savior. Can you say that with the uplifted hand this morning? So many. Thank you. You may put them down, but dear friend, if you didn't lift your hand, you're honest with yourself and with God. You couldn't lift your hand. You can change that before you leave here. You can come receive the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You can leave this building knowing if you died today, heaven would be your home. Wouldn't you like that? I remember when I sat in the church and heard preachers say words like that. And I thought, oh, I'd like to know that. And the day came I received the Lord Jesus Christ. The greatest day I ever lived in my life was when I received Him. And from that time to this, so many years, but He's just as real right now as He was then. And I'm just that much closer to heaven than I was when I first got saved. I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to sing a song, a verse of invitation. We invite you to come to receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to step down front. I'll meet you here. There are others here that will talk to you, pray with you. Wouldn't you love to leave here with the peace of God in your heart, not panicking over what the world panics over, but knowing Him? That's what He offers you this morning. Father, I come to you in prayer. I ask for strength and grace for that one that needs to come this morning. There's several in this building probably that need to be saved. Father, I wish I could just impart even the knowledge I have about what this book tells me is coming. They do have a right to panic. But, oh Lord, they can leave in peace today if they'll receive Christ, for we ask it in His name. Amen. Will you come as we sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed.
Will you come? Will you come?
For me, and that Thou bidst me.
You can have peace instead of panic if you'll come to the Lord.
Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul.
How about you this morning? How about you?
Dark blood to Thee, whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God. just how
we live in a world that fears the wrong things when they should be fearing the right things. Spoke to the things that men fear. He said, fear not him that can destroy the body. Man can destroy another man. We see it in the paper all the time. But he said, fear not him that can destroy the body, and that's all they can do. But fear him that can destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, you aren't talking about the devil. You're talking about God. The devil can do some bad things, but he has to have permission from God. We fear the wrong things in our society today, and the things that ought to be feared or ignored. I said it in the message, it is appointed unto men once to die. And the rest of that verse says, and after this, the judgment. After this, the judgment. But we fear death more than we fear the judgment, don't we? That's why we got seat belts and vitamin pills and all the things we do to save the body, make it last as long as we can. But one day, the judgment. Ought to fear it. Be sure we're right with it. Then you'd have peace about living in the body.